an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, laughter, and information, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence and a better understanding of ourselves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you, Mark. This is an exciting show because we do have Frederick Richu on, and he's all the way in Stockholm, Sweden. And so we are excited to be able to be talking to him through this magical form of radio called Skype. And we're going to have some great conversation because I know Frederick, and he actually comes to us from our producer, Mark Lejeune, who introduced us to us years ago, actually, and finally here we are talking on the radio together. Before we bring him on, for those of you who celebrated Passover or who celebrated Easter, happy Passover, happy Easter, happy spring holiday. It was just yesterday as far as dates are concerned, and yet it just yesterday, actually, I received some blessings on Easter as I was spending time with my family and watching something happen that wasn't really that religious, wasn't really that special, and yet the blessings came from an understanding maybe of something that I had forgotten. You know, I actually had an Easter egg hunt. So what is so special about an Easter egg hunt? Well, for those of you who don't know what an Easter egg hunt is somebody, usually an adult, hides Easter eggs, whether real colored eggs or plastic eggs. Sometimes they have little gifts inside or coins or something, and sometimes they don't have anything. And usually at the end, there's a prize for those who collected the most Easter eggs or inside the eggs, either little toys and coins, what have you. So in this particular case, my sister-in-law and her mother hid Easter eggs for their two daughters, granddaughters, and my nieces. And these Easter eggs were hidden in the front yard, in the backyard, the side yard, all around the house. And the interesting thing was that the children knew what was happening. As a matter of fact, they saw baskets of Easter eggs go out the front door or the back door, knowing that they were going to be hidden so that they could do an Easter egg hunt. As a matter of fact, one of my nieces said at one point, "How long is it going to take them? How long is it taking them? Why is it taking so long?" And knowing that they were purposely hiding the same Easter eggs that had been with them all week inside the house, but were nothing special because they were just in a basket, now are going to be hidden around the house or around the yard so that they could look for them. And the interesting thing is that at the end of this Easter egg hunt, there wasn't really a prize for anyone that got the most eggs. And as a matter of fact, most of the eggs had nothing in them. Some of them had some candy, some of them had chocolate, some of them had little toys, but very few of them. Mainly it was just plastic eggs hidden. And these two little girls, when it was time, we all went outside and they started hunting for these Easter eggs, laughing and giggling and having a lot of fun and sharing the eggs as they found them and having us watch them and cheer them on. And, you know, it was interesting at one point when it looked like they had found all the eggs, and I said to one of my nieces, "You know, there might be one behind a bush, but you might not be able to see it unless you step out into the sidewalk." And one of my nieces heard me say that, and so she said, "Okay." So right away she goes into the sidewalk and starts looking from that perspective. You know, at one, they enjoyed this process so much that, that at one point, I think it was about 3 years ago, one of my sister-in-laws had so many eggs she wanted to hide that she had practically filled the whole yard with Easter eggs at the level where they could find them, of course, and didn't know what to do with the rest of them. So she just threw the rest of them in plain sight in the middle of the lawn in the backyard. Well, the kids did not like that. They just did not think that was very entertaining. That's just picking up Easter eggs. That has nothing to do with the excitement of the hunt. So what is the blessing in this? What is the lesson I learned from this? What happens to us exactly as we grow up that we hate the hunt, that we get annoyed from not knowing the answers, from not knowing where the Easter eggs are exactly hidden, from being annoyed when people are hiding the Easter eggs, when people are hiding the answers? We don't get excited anymore in job hunting. We just want the job. And as a matter of fact, we can't wait for the job to be over. We can't wait to retire. We can't wait to go on vacation because we want the prize. We don't want the journey. We don't want the excitement of the hunt. We just want the prize. It's interesting because there was no prize at the end of my niece's Easter egg hunt. It was the joy. And as a matter of fact, I tend to think that if we all didn't step outside to watch them do their Easter egg hunt, they probably wouldn't have done it. So they also had a whole cheering section, and it was fun for us to watch them. And I think, where is our cheering section? Maybe that's what we're missing. Maybe we don't have friends and family gather around to watch us do our job and to watch us work, or to support us and say, that was great, or that was fun, or, you know, how many times did we jump up and down in a pool or do some kind of a movement and say, hey, look at what I can do. Look at me. Look at me. I don't know that we lost that. I think we pretend that we grew out of that, but I don't think we really did. And I think therein lies an understanding of what is inherently wrong in some of the ways that we are living our lives. We live our lives in our own Easter egg hunt privately, hating the hunt, waiting for the prize, and sometimes discovering that the prize doesn't really exist. And so we've missed out on the hunt. Some of us retire and then die, never getting the prize. Some of us go on vacation and only think about work, or don't enjoy the vacation because we don't know how. And so I watch these two little girls enjoy the hunt, enjoy the surprise, and enjoy knowing that there is going to be an adventure. And so many times have I said to friends, or better yet, have my friends who are very much in tune say to me, Filippo, maybe if you step out into the sidewalk, you could have a different perspective, and maybe you'll find some Easter eggs that you couldn't see from here. No, I would say, it's not supposed to be over there. It's not supposed to be like that. Maybe I don't want that perspective. That's not who I want to learn it from. I didn't want to hear it from you. I think I should get it over here. And lose out on getting the Easter egg or on getting the perspective to begin with. So who knew that I could have gotten so much out of watching two beautiful little girls do an Easter egg hunt and make this otherwise little silly game a life lesson for me. And I hope for all of you that you enjoy your hunt, that you enjoy the journey, that you know things are being hidden for you, and that if somebody dumped all the vacations and all the money you wanted and all of the houses and cars in the middle of your front lawn, I wonder if you would say, like the children did when all the eggs were left in the middle of the lawn, I wonder if you would say, no, that's not fun. That's not the way it's supposed to be either. And interestingly enough, a lot of people who do win the lottery, as a matter of fact, the great majority, they spend the money and end up being more broke than they were before because they didn't have the process. So may your beautiful Easter eggs be hidden and may you find them with joy and with a cheering section, and may you enjoy the process. Happy holiday to everyone. Now with that, I am so looking forward to an Easter egg that we have named Frederick Richoux, who is our guest as soon as we come back right after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook, and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, we're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and today's special guest is Frederick Richoux. Now, Frederick is a photographer, a filmmaker, a director, a producer, and actually so much more. He's an artist, and artists are special kind of people. And we, though many different careers are, people in different careers can be deemed as artists, we don't necessarily call them artists. Well, we call Frederick an artist because he is that indeed. Now, Frederick creates visceral and majestic images that are emblematic of the world today, the modern world. Now, Frederick consistently delivers thought-provoking work that has a fluid and resonant quality. Like his imagery, Richoux is continually evolving, continually refining, and continually streamlining. He is indeed a seeker, and perfect for our Life Changes show. He is transitioning in his artistic work between still frames and moving pictures, and in his life, he transitions from country to country, from a philosophy to philosophy, ideas to ideas, and this is exactly what we're looking for in our conversation today. He's originally from Los Angeles, but he is now in Stockholm. Now, Richoux is that rare American photographer to have actually lived and worked in Europe for over 11 years. He has worked for such notable publications as Arena, Home Plus, Big, New York Times Magazine, British GQ, Details, and many others. He directed his first film, Breathe, in London, where he had been written up in London's exclusive campaign screen as one of the hot new directors to watch. Now, some of his subjects, as far as photography is concerned, have included many profile actors and musicians, such as Kanye West, Fiona Apple, Alanis Morissette, and bands like Massive Attack and Daft Punk, to name a few. So with that, I am pleased to welcome to the show Frederick Richoux.
Thank you so much for the poll.
Frederick, thank you. We're glad that Mark Lejeune introduced us to you, or me to you, and that you are with us all the way from Stockholm via Skype right now. Thank you for taking the time to have this conversation.
Thanks so much. Isn't the world getting smaller and smaller? I'm sitting here in Stockholm. 10 It's crazy.
Well, actually, yes, it is. And what I think is crazier is that you were just here 2 weeks ago, and unfortunately we weren't able to schedule you then, because that would have been fun to do it in person. But I have a feeling we'll be doing lots in person real soon.
That'd be great.
Okay, because there are airplanes now that bring you back and forth. And because of these airplanes, you have been able to travel throughout the world. You have perspectives from having lived in different countries, from looking at the world through the eye of a lens, to dealing with some very famous people who are trendsetters. You know, you're a true artist. And what does that mean to you?
Well, I mean, I think it means many things today. I mean, I have been blessed enough with this talent to be able to, from a very early age, it was all about going somewhere else and finding something else about myself and about my talent. And that has been able to, I've been able to live in five different countries doing that, such as Italy and Paris and Germany and Stockholm and London. And of course, I lived in New York for many years. But an artist today is such a broad term. It's changed so much. The land of imagery has changed so much with the advent of digital. It's made your guy that walks down the street an artist if he chooses to be by taking his phone and taking a picture. So the game has changed a lot.
Mm. Yet the idea behind the word or the meaning of artist is still the same. It's somebody who interprets the world or interprets our reality or experience. How would you define that?
I would think that the word artist means that someone who is experiencing this life, you know, in a body is taking what they see and what they feel and what they think and interpreting into the gift that they've been given, whatever that gift may be, whether it's painting, whether it's making pictures, like I do. But in the end of the day, we're all just using our tools that we have to visually describe this world or not, or maybe not. Maybe it's just something that we're trying to do that is making it a better place to live, you know, visually and aesthetically.
Well, let me ask you this then. How did you come across your art form and know that you were or wanted to be an artist?
It actually happened to me by accident in so many ways. In so many ways it didn't. I mean, I knew from a very early age, after listening to The Jam, is a band that I really loved when I was a kid, and The Clash, that I wanted to live in London one day. Mm-hmm. That was like, oh wow, that music just changed my world. And I started from an early age in the 80s dressing like that, and dressing from a different era. And then things just kept spiraling on, and started playing drums, and I played drums for 14 years. And music is what really changed my life. Music is what drove me visually. In the beginning, I just wanted to direct movies from that, and then I accidentally hurt my leg in a music video and started shooting pictures. And after that, I built up a portfolio in 6 months, and without knowing anybody, at 21 years old, I moved to Milan, Italy. And I didn't even know where I was going to stay when I got there. You know, today, to do something like that is just, it's like unheard of. It's not the same world, you know? I mean, at the time, I traveled with three huge duffel bags, and I mean, you know, it's like, you can't even get on a plane today with one bag. it's crazy. It's amazing how things have changed and shifted and how many life changes I have actually been through. When I sat and thought about your show and coming on the show, I thought, well, you know, life changes is it can happen sitting there watching a television show. Your life can change. Mm. It's all about your process. It's all about your consciousness. As one of your guests, I was listening to John Vola, was saying, you know, we're all not really here. What are we? I mean, is the building that I'm sitting in actually solid? Well, I believe it is because I believe that I'm solid and my body's solid. But wasn't it someone's thought? Wasn't it someone's creativity that created the building that I'm actually standing in? Didn't somebody draw up the plans and visualize it?
Mm.
So what's real and what's not real?
Interesting. You know, you are the epitome of my monologue as far as living the journey, because you have had so many life changes that you can't really say, oh, when I am this, because, you know, before you were a photographer, you were doing the music videos, and before you were doing that, you were doing something else, and before you were living here, you were living someplace else. So, you know, each time it's not like when I am there, then I will be me. It's like I am me right now living here, doing this.
Exactly. And that's why in my film Om that you spoke about, when all the students were in Shavasana, which is laying on their back after they just did this amazing ritual, which is something, again, I was thinking about when you were talking about your monologue, which I kept thinking about Joseph Campbell, who's one of my favorite and changed my life, lots of his work. And he said, you know, we're losing the art of the ritual, you know? That is lost in today's society. Mm. And I think a great way to do a ritual, obviously, is doing something like yoga, practice, something that, you know, whatever practice you decide to do. But yoga is something that I chose to make a film on. And when all the students were laying on their back, they said, the teacher says to the class, this life is just an illusion of your imagination.
Mm.
What does that actually mean?
Hmm. You know, I did want to get into the film a little later, but since you're there now,
sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I'm excited about talking about that too. We're talking about Frederick's film Om, which is a short that actually won some film festivals and actually was a pick in 25 film festivals worldwide. And has drawn some critical acclaim all the way to China, which is interesting because one would assume that they do yoga there, so they know their stuff and they like this movie. So you can learn more about it at om-tv.org, or you can go directly to Frederick's website at freshu.com, and that's fresh, freshuew.com. So in the film, what I liked about one of the main things I liked about it is that in our heads there is the majority of the time so many other things going on than what is before us, and it was interesting that here in yoga is the epitome of trying to quiet the mind and be in the moment, and yet those people were still reliving things that happened before going to yoga, you know, what might happen after going to yoga, that was going through their mind and it was part of their experience.
Yeah. It's a daily struggle, isn't it? I mean, even the guys that take themselves out of society, that are in an ashram or, you know, that sit and meditate all day long and that's their thing, they still have negative thoughts that run through their mind. I mean, try and do it. It's a very difficult thing. Try and go through a whole day without something that's a negative thought. I mean, it could be interpreted in so many ways, what's negative, but it's a very difficult thing to do. And when I go and do the yoga practice, I'm always so enthralled by what people bring into that studio, what their thoughts were. And so I thought to investigate that would be something that would be, you know, visually impactful. Mm. And so I used a bike messenger in New York City, which, if you've ever been in Manhattan and seen these guys go through the streets, it's mad. I mean,
yes,
they put their life on the line every single day,
right?
You know, and I mean, I've ridden bikes around the city so many times, and you know, it's so exhilarating to do. At the same time, you don't have time to think. Your mind does not. You don't have time for fear, because if you feel that fear, you could get killed. Literally, if you start to think about fear.
That's ironic. You know, I'm sorry, Frederick, for interrupting, but you know, you just brought a perspective to me that I didn't have until now about the movie, is that of all those people in the movie, the majority of whom were doing yoga, he might have been the one person that was most in the now than anybody else.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the whole point of it. It's but that's the thing. The thing is, I kind of give away the film in the beginning, because in the beginning, as I was saying to you before, I say there is no concept or object in the universe that is independent, which is basically the definition of Om.
Mm.
And I mean, I think it says it all. I defined it in order for everyone to grasp that everything's connected.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm glad I didn't get that, frankly, until now, because there was so much else that I got from the film that I liked. So getting the obvious point later on. okay, so there's something else I wanted to ask you, but let's talk a little bit more about the film. Is there anything else you wanted to say about that before we move on?
No, I mean, I think that one of the reasons for me, actually, in the beginning to do the movie, obviously, the subject matter was something that it's, you know, dear to my heart, yoga. But I also think that it's important as an artist and as a budding filmmaker to want to raise consciousness on this earth. People see that's so subjective, but at the end of the day, what does that mean? For me, and I always say for me, that it means that I want to make this world a better place, and I think that you have to be responsible as a filmmaker. There are so many filmmakers, so many people that get opportunities to make a movie, and what a great thing that is, an opportunity to make a movie, and someone to give you hundreds of millions of dollars, or even $5 million, or however much money someone gives you to make a film, what an amazing blessing that is. And you're to me, you have a responsibility. And that responsibility is that when I go and I pay this money to sit in that movie theater, yes, it's great to be entertained, but it's also great to learn something more about yourself. And if you could give someone that, well, then I think you're doing more than just a favor to them or to yourself. You're helping us all.
Hmm. Well, yes. And that's the kind of film that you want to make. You know, I'm struggling, actually, as I'm saying, you can hear it in my voice, because I have to wonder that that's my belief, happens to be my belief, and it is your belief, that is our responsibility, as we believe here, life changes. Yet at the same time, this brings me joy, and I know that brings you joy, and maybe these people that are making movies that they're killing each other or something, you know, maybe that brings them joy. So who would I be to say, don't be making those kinds of movies anymore? But the question is, does it really bring them joy, or do they think that's what they have to do to bring them money because that's what they think the audiences want and the studios are buying? So that is really the question.
Definitely. I mean, I agree with you. I'm not one to pass the judgment either. I'm simply saying what I said for me, what makes sense. But I do definitely think that, you know, it is something that you cannot judge. But that's all part of our process here, isn't it, in this world?
Absolutely. And yet, I do believe that the latter part of my question, being that that's what they think maybe that the audience wants and that that the studios are buying, that's what they think, because maybe that might have been the case. But I have a feeling the films like Ohm are going to be even more and more and more popular, and maybe someday more popular than the ones that we just talked about.
Well, let's look at the biggest selling film of the last, or maybe ever, Avatar.
Right.
I mean, look at that film. I mean, I mean, take it, say what you want to say about James Cameron, but to me, that was the most. It was a very spiritual film, and the reason why so many people connected with it. Was because he created a world that people wanted to belong to. People wanted to be a part of. Even if it was just for those little moments instead of a movie theater. It was magical. And that world that he created, that was magic, exists. Mm. And again, to go back to your previous guest, Drenvola Melchizedek, who I'm, as I shared with you before, I'm a huge fan of. That's what this shift that he's speaking of, I believe is coming. And I feel it around me, in me. I see it in my children. And I wonder what we're going to create like during that time.
Mm. Well, I not only wonder, I believe that we are doing it, especially people like us here at Life Changes and people like you, the artists that are creating this kind of material. I believe that we are all together part of the shift, or helping people shift into this new kind of way of being and consciousness. And exactly one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on the show, because you have been at the epicenter of popular culture. So if you believe this, then there's something happening that most people don't necessarily see, because you have seen it from different angles. And we'll talk more about that as soon as we come back right after this. We're talking to Frederick Rishu, photographer, filmmaker, director, and producer. And we'll have more questions for him right after this break.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars, guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
You know, Mark, it's interesting. I'm glad you mentioned Facebook and Twitter and Mariel Hemingway, because it's interesting. Just 2 days ago, Mariel Hemingway invited me to be her friend on Facebook. And I thought, this is interesting, because we've had Mariel Hemingway on the show before, and we've talked about doing a live event with her and all of that. And here we're connecting through other mediums as well. And what's beautiful to me is that we're not just interviewing people. We're making friends, we're making connections, and we're building a community here. And this is really exciting. And we're not only building a community through our show, but we're also building it through our Life Changes Network at lifechangesnetwork.com, where people are coming together to share their real stories in real time. And this is quite exciting. So, yes, Mariel, I accept, and I'm glad we're connecting. And with all these other people that we're connecting, like Frederick Rishu here, who's our guest today. He's a photographer, a filmmaker, a director, and a producer. And if you want to learn more about Frederick and his work, you can go to Freshu. That is so clever. That's his last name with his first initial, freshew.com. And then if you want to learn more about the movie we've been talking about, you can go directly to omtv.org, which is om-tv.org. Now, one of the main reasons we're having Frederick on the show today is because he has been at the epicenter of popular culture, where cool people do cool stuff. And he has not only been there, he's lived there, and he's photographed there and made movies there. We're talking about London and Paris and Los Angeles, Stockholm and New York. And we're talking about people like Fiona Apple and Kanye West and Alanis Morissette. Bands like Massive Attack and Daft Punk. He's been with them and photographed them and worked with them. And so he sees a perspective that very few people get to see, from the people who make popular culture, from the people who are the what we consider the most creative in their genre. And so he gets a perspective that very few people see. And yet, Frederick, you still believe in consciousness and spirituality and oneness and all that. So what are you seeing that we're not seeing? Where can you make the connection for us?
You know what's funny is that every day is a fight. Every day is a struggle. I mean, we're all in this body. So every day we're having to deal with, you know, different things, whether it's paying your bills or, you know, getting your kid to school on time or, you know, I mean, all of us deal with the pressures of existing in this society. So, and we have different ways of channeling that, you know, and I think it becomes more and more difficult today because we have more and more ways to connect as well. So we're challenged in that way. But I really believe that the artist today has more opportunities than we ever did before at the same time. Because, for instance, you were talking about me living, you know, in Stockholm now. And, you know, when I lived in London 10 years ago or in Paris 12 years ago, I never had, I didn't even have a cell phone. I didn't have Skype. I didn't have ways to communicate, and, you know, with friends, family, let alone connections to clients and to people that might hire me. Today, it's a different game completely. It's a lot more competition, too, and it's a lot easier to communicate. But I really think that we're on a really interesting path of evolution right now with where we're going with artists today.
Yes, and that's exactly the perspective I'm hoping you'll give us. I want you to drop the Easter egg right in the front of the middle of the lawn.
Yes, I know. You want me to drop that Easter egg in the middle of the lawn. It's a tough thing to really describe when you're in it. You know, it's just like the little kids who were looking around for the egg. You know, and unless you're watching them, they didn't really want to be a part of it. I mean, it's the same thing as an artist. An artist today lacks that community, you know. And I think all of us artists are starving for communities. Today, I think that it's really fascinating here in Stockholm because in Stockholm, you know, it's such a small town, and it's even smaller when you're outside the loop. And it takes time here. People want to get to know you. They want to breathe you as an artist. They want to know your talents and see you around a little bit before they let you in that door. And this is the way of the artist everywhere still, but mostly in these small communities like this. But I think today it's challenging. It's very challenging to be an artist. It really is.
You know, it probably always has been because though you live in the middle of cool, in the middle of celebrities and artists, and maybe not in Stockholm per se, but I know you also live in Los Angeles part of the time. But though you're in the middle of it all, you are removed because of the way that you think and the way that you see and that. So I could understand that.
Well, that can work for you, and it can also work against you because you're always challenging yourself. You're always saying to yourself, well, is this the right path? Is this the thing that I should be doing, or should I be focusing my energies elsewhere that could help broaden the world that I want to create?
Well, you know, that's interesting because you giving us that perspective, I know you're not the only one that has that challenge. And I know some of the people that you've worked with have had that challenge. And here, the general public looks up at some of these celebrities that you've worked with and they say, wow, they really have it together, or wow, they're really cool. But if they really knew what's going on in their heads, it would be the sentiment you probably expressed just now.
Again, it's just an illusion of your imagination, man. It's not. It's like thinking that someone, just because, you know, I've photographed people with hundreds of millions of dollars. I've photographed people that are starving artists. I've photographed people that are, you know, that are, think that their world is all about them and carry their ego, you know, on their sleeve and want to control every circumstance that you photograph them in. And the reality is that no one has it better than you. Your experience is just as valid as their experience.
That's so important. Frederick, this is maybe not the scope of our interview, but I am curious, has there ever been anybody you photographed that you got something out of other than it was just a job and you got paid, but there was something in that experience that you grew from? Of course, you can grow from all experiences, but anything special in anybody particular that you can either talk about or maybe leave out their name if you have to?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, there's quite a few, you know. Make me think now. there's so many. I'd rather not name someone's name because then it becomes something different. But I have been very moved by some of the subjects I photographed. One in particular was a singer out of London, and she's quite small as far as her stature. She's like 5'1". And she had this voice of an angel, and she could just project through a room that was amazing. I'll say her name. Her name was Duffy. And
oh, yes.
She's quite popular now in the States as well, I believe. Mm-hmm. And why I was so affected by her is because she's very huge in the UK right now. But she carried herself with such a harmonious way that you were just like, wow, you're really unaffected by all this, aren't you? And she says, you know, I just feel so blessed to be able to do this, And I think at moments like that, with people who have such a great talent, given such a great talent, you feel so humbled.
You know, thank you for saying that. Actually, I like that. I like the story, but I also like the message there. You know, there are people that give a lot of lip service to that, and I know you would know the difference. There are people that do say, oh, I'm just so blessed to be doing this, but what they're really saying is, you know, screw you, I'm rich and you're not, or I'm famous and you're not, or whatever, and I'm, you know, I have to play this part to stay here in this, you know, in this position that you put me in. But, or, you know, it's like when you say to somebody, it's like, wow, great car, and they say, oh, it's just a car. And they're driving, you know, a $200,000 car. Well, you know the people that say it's just a car, and they mean, really, I happen to be able to afford it, and it's nice to have something cool, and I'm enjoying it too, but it is just a car. And then there are the people that say it's just a car, but what they really mean is, yeah, you're looking at me, and you don't got one, and aren't I great? You know what I mean?
Oh my God! Completely. I can tell you stories and give names on that actual thing. I really could.
Another show, but I like
it. Yeah, that's another show. But I mean, that is incredibly true. This is that opposite. Definitely.
Well, that's great and good for her that she could be able to find that at such a young age. And yet, I wonder if it's she found it at such a young age, or maybe she came with it, and maybe there's a learning that we have to do from some of the people, the young ones that are coming with this information.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mark will attest to this. I mean, just thinking about these children today growing up in this digital age is phenomenal. It really is. We're going to be taught so many things, Filippo.
Well, you're right. They come from a whole different perspective with what's available to them. Not even what they've come with, but what they get while they're here. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, just think about the interconnectedness that we have externally through all this technology, you know, and somehow we have to figure out a way to balance that internally, and that's what I'm starting to work on now.
Well, you know, you helped me when you and I were talking earlier before the show, and we were talking about how, you know, it's not where you're going, but where you are kind of thing, and looking for the answers and all that. I came up with a phrase that I really like. I actually wrote it down, that we are the answers, not as we want to be, but as who we are.
I mean, exactly, right? I mean, that just says it perfectly. Again, it's like the statement in the film, this life is just an illusion of your imagination. You know, or I talked about the building that I'm sitting in right now on the fifth floor and looking over this the city here right now. And it's it what is it that I'm really standing on? What is this that we're really talking on? I mean, you know, we talk about things that are solid, that are building solid, it's not, but what's real, what's not real? Because you perceive it to be real, does it make it real?
Right, and taking it back to the three dimensions, you're living in Stockholm right now, but is that really real, and is that really for long, and where are you going to be living next? And right now you're a photographer and director and producer, and for all I know, you might want to be doing making statues or painting tomorrow. Who knows the way you've been at this?
Right. I wrote a feature, and I would like to make that, of course. It's quite interesting, I believe. It's a sci-fi, and
Hold that thought. I want to hear. We're going to break real quick and come back, because you wrote a sci-fi. This is news to me. So we're talking to Frederick Richu, and we'll be back to talk about his sci-fi film as soon as we get back.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, this is great. We've got a photographer, filmmaker, director, and producer, Frederick Richu, on the show. And if you want to learn more about his work, go to frishu.com, F-R-E-S-H-E-W.com. Now, Frederick, we have a couple more minutes here before we bring our producer on, Mark, for our producer's wrap. But let's wrap up with this great project that you are doing, sci-fi film, huh?
That's right. I wrote a sci-fi film, and without giving away too much, it's about being trapped inside of your dream world. And it's quite interesting, because when I saw this film with Inception,
right,
I was a little bit like, oh, that's my idea, but it's very different from that, but it holds the same kind of concept as being locked in that world. Because if you think about what you could do in that world, there's many things you can do, as the dream world's vast, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, knowing your art from the past and what you're doing now, I have a feeling that, and having seen the film, I have a feeling that it's going to be completely different, and I'm excited about that too now. So hurry up and do that for us, will you?
Yes, I would like to, Filippo. I would like to.
Well, is that going to bring you to Los Angeles?
Yes, and to your show. I will be coming in live. I would like that to bring me. I'm trying to manifest that now. So we shall see. We shall see, hopefully soon. In the meantime, I continue to work on my other projects that I have going on, whether I'm shooting somebody in New York next week who used to be the Treasury of the United States. So won't say that person's name just yet, but whatever the world takes me, I'm just happy to create in.
Yeah, you are being in the moment, and yes. much like your film Ohm. Of course, there's other stuff going on there, but interesting. Let me ask you this, since I know you, and of course Mark knows you very well, but I'm curious, who Are you in the movie as far as character, and which character would you be in Ohm?
The funniest thing is everybody says to me, is that you when they see the yoga teacher?
Uh-huh. At first I thought it was you too, actually, but then I thought that's not him, but who, what character would you be?
What character would I be? Well, I think I probably would be the yoga teacher.
So yes. We all felt it. He kind of like looks like you, but we felt that.
Yes. Yes. There's something really fascinating about the idea of, you know, the yoga teacher and what the yoga teacher brings and how he had his own moment, as you saw in the film, where he had to check himself.
Well, the reality is, since you wrote it and directed and produced it, you are all of the characters. I just wanted to see which one you identified with. Okay. So with that, Frederick, this has been a lot of fun, my friend.
Thank you so much, Philip and Mark. Happy birthday, Mark.
Thank you for giving us your perspective, and we can't wait to check in with you on the film and your other projects and other perspectives as you grow in being the best you can be.
Thank you so much. Thank you again for having me. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Feel better.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So as we start now, the producer's wrap. I like that name, and we've got to Mark Lejeur on with us.
Voltaggio.
Mark, are you there?
Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo.
It sounds like we got the outro going on here.
So here we are with the producer's wrap segment of our show with our producer, Mark Lejeur. Mark, thank you, first of all, for bringing your friend Frederick Richoux to the show.
Oh, absolutely. It's now you get a sense of what Frederick is, what he's about, who he is, and how deep his talent is. Very few people view the world the way he does and view it from such a complete perspective, and then better yet, or be able to translate that and bring it back to us in such a visually interpretive way. Cool stuff.
A true artist. Well, you know what also is cool, actually, is a perspective on you, because you have, before I knew Frederick, you were sharing this with me, saying that you saw this in him, and you had a vision of how he can and does affect the world and will and all that stuff. And I'm seeing more and more that you are an artist in that way, that you see what people cannot see sometimes even about themselves.
I like that Jonathan Swift quote, the author, that says vision is the art of seeing what others can't.
Oh, I didn't even know that, and I almost quoted it verbatim.
Yeah, well, there you go. I do enjoy that, and yeah, you know, I certainly know what I'm good at and what I'm not good at, or at least a lot of what I'm good at or not, and that's one thing that I've been consistently gaining confidence in is my ability to see things that aren't necessarily so obvious to others. Sometimes seeing them and feeling them energetically ahead of time, and that's something that I think we will be able to capitalize on as we go forward with Life Changes, as we try to stay ahead of the curve and learn as we go and have a lot of fun doing it.
Well, certainly we will, with cool people like Frederick on, and not to mention, of course, with like you and me, and Dorothy, yeah, and a few other people. But, you know, in actuality, so it is kind of like Frederick was saying, we all have the potential to be artists and to see outside of what is this reality that we call reality. And we all have a potential to do that through different forms. He does it through film and through photography. So, you know, you might do it through people, where you place people, where you help people get placed and help people do kind of thing.
Well, I'll take what Frederick said, and I'll take it a step further, because we not only have the potential, but we really are artists. You know, the great Shakespearean quote of all the world being a stage. When you get into the essence of manifestation and the collective manifestation of, you know, thoughts becoming things, matter being the result of both individual intent and manifestation and collective intent and manifestation, you realize that what we're doing, even if it's not at an aware and conscious state or different levels of that, is creating our world. We're creating our stage. We're building our playground. And therefore, we're painting the lives that we are living. We're painting and creating our experience as we go. That's art. And so there, everybody has the unlimited ability to create within them. And, gathering confidence in terms of how to do that and to continue to manifest the positive things that we want in our life, I think is the name of the game. But certainly we're all artists.
You know, I'm glad you said that, actually, because if I remember correctly, both our past guests, Coyote the Blind and Don Miguel Ruiz, come from a Toltec tradition. And I at first thought Toltec was like a culture or something. Well, it is a culture. But what they say is it's a culture of artists. It's a tradition of artists. And what I think it even means is artist. And what they're saying is that we are the artists of our lives, and we paint or draw or photograph or whatever it is what we intend to have in our lives. That's how we are artists.
Well, see there, and apparently part of my art is listening and being able to repeat in a succinct way.
Right. Actually, you know, it's interesting. I've been in many a meeting with Mark, and he'll be sitting at the back of the room, and at the end of the meeting, like, he might not say anything throughout the whole meeting, and at the end of the meeting, he says these brilliant things, and everybody's like, yes, 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 everybody agrees. Well, of course, because he took everybody's ideas, and he actually painted a picture. I mean, that's exactly what you did. You painted it right back, or you put it back as a poem for them to understand. And it's like, well, that it's an art, and it's fascinating to watch. I love it.
Well, thanks for making note. I think the fun in that is that people are so busy talking that they forget to listen. And that's part of one of the things I was brought up to do was to listen. And what I enjoy most is listening. And there's so much more when you listen, but you also watch and you pay attention to not only what people are saying, but their body language and how they're being received. And then when you take all of that information, there's a story there. There's a picture there. And it may not be, it's an amalgamation of all those things, but it may not be what any one of the individuals perceive, but something different, better, more unique, etc. And I like trying to bring that back to the table.
Well, you are, and you're doing it here at the show with this producer's rap segment. And what I really like about it is that we not only bring our perspectives and the perspectives of the books we've read, et cetera, but we're also bringing the perspectives of all of our guests that we've had. And it's interesting, like Frederick was saying, actually, before the show started, he was saying, oh, I just finished listening to your interview with Drunvalo Melchizedek, and, you know, I'm a big fan of his, and he's helped me a lot, and I like the story that you told about this and he told about that, and I thought, wow, how interesting. Together with Drunvalo, because of this show, we now have made an impact on somebody else's life, but not just somebody else, somebody who's shaping the lives of other people.
That's such a great point, and it's interesting that Frederick listened to that specific interview, because I was at a birthday party, sat down next to Frederick, didn't know who Frederick was, and within about 5 minutes, somehow we were talking about Drunvalo and his message and that information, and that was the plane that we bonded on, because that's not something that you, it's not a normal everyday conversation, right? How's the weather? Hey, how about Drunvalo's book? You know, so it was pretty cool.
Well, that's excellent. Well, you brought it full circle to us. So there you go again. That's what you do, and you did it well. Thank you so much. Well, this has been exciting. It's been great having Frederick Richoux on the show, and I thank again Mark Lejeune for introducing him to us. And what a special time to have your friend on here, because today is Mark's birthday, so we wish Mark a happy birthday. So with that, I am Filippo Voltaggio, and together with Mark Lejeune and Dorothy Donahue, our producers, and our engineer for today, today, who is Doug Newsom. We thank you all for being part of this show, part of this world, and part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Change the world.